This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mysteries are over. We are just getting started celebrating all of the mysteries here on Post Show Recaps. It's the 2023 Year in Review podcast series. We're all month long. PSR is looking back one last time at some of the very best shows of the year. You can check out the full series by subscribing at postshowrecaps.com/2023in review. My name is Grace Leader, and today we're talking about all your favorite mysteries from 2023, including Only Murders in the Building, Poker Face, The After Party, and so much more, and all the impact it had on television in 2023. I'm joined by my fellow detective sleuths. First of all, Troy, aka DJ LaBelle Klein, how you doing?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on. Are we not doing...
You could be Perot if you want. Yeah, we could do that, yeah.
I just thought, you know, well-known performer, get a ridiculous accent so that you could play it up for creative. This is how mystery works, no?
Yeah, this is perfect, because now I can introduce Ariel, who should be doing his best Benoit Blanc impression.
Oh, now this is awkward. I showed up and I didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, amazing. Ariel, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm sad I didn't bring a voice, but thank you for providing me with one.
That was quite fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. Rounding out the panel, Jess Sterling is here, and I don't know if I have any detective accents left for you, Jess.
I'm a detective all by myself, so I don't know that I need one.
Oh, amazing. Jess Sterling, how are you doing? You started to talk about mysteries.
I am so excited to talk about mysteries. I'm so happy to be here today. What is that?
Jet?
Did you guys do your camera cut? Everyone's camera's cut out there. Is everybody?
Wait, where's Jess?
Wait, what happened?
Everyone's here? Everyone's. Well,
Should we just
guess?
Nah, Jess. We should.
I mean, I guess Jess. Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, we should. Yeah, I think on with the show. I think probably. Yeah.
The show is more important.
What do you mean on with the show? Just like
blood
so, curdling scream and then cut off.
No, that's fine. So before we start talking about the mysteries of 2023, we remind you that at the end of the month, we'll be revealing the top 10 TV shows of 2023 as voted on by the audience of Post Show Recaps. So make sure your voice is heard, much like Jess's scream. Head over to postshowrecaps.com/best of 2023 to cast your vote and tune in on Friday, December 29th to hear which shows made the list and which ultimately emerge victorious. It's a mystery on it itself, Troy.
Grace, I cannot believe that you are plugging other podcasts while Jess is.
That's
what is it? I guess the show must go on. I guess is that the?
I don't.
Yeah, we'll
I
message
see...
Will or something, and it'll be. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Oh, well, yeah. Hold on. Let me text Will, and right. I just want to make sure she's okay, because that was that scream is not a scream I ever want to hear for the rest of my life.
I don't really see what the big deal is, honestly.
I'm just going to edit it actually into the podcast like 50 more times. All right, Ariel, let's chat about mysteries. I actually had this as murder mysteries, but I think we're going to broaden the scope a little bit to include all mysteries, any show that had a mystery element to it. I do feel like to a degree, I mean, specifically the murder mystery, and I think this started last year, but it does feel like to a degree, like the murder mystery is back. Obviously Only Murders in the Building comes back for season 3 and like bolsters their cast. The After Party season 2 happened. So it hasn't been like, this is like a revelation for 2023. But it does feel like there is an appetite for these murder mysteries and then mystery shows in general, Ariel.
Yeah, people want to be in the dark. They want to feel like they don't know what's going on. It's a very scary time in the world. So they're like, why not on TV as well? But the hilarious thing is, you know, literally and figuratively, that a lot of these murder mystery shows are very funny and are like, and toe that line of, you know, very serious high stakes and throwing in some, you know, amazing performances from some well-known and perhaps new comedic artists.
Yeah, Troy. Yeah. What do you make of like the mystery genre?
I'm back. I texted Will. He's out of town, but he's going to go check on Jeff. Okay. So we should hear back in the next, perfect, you know, 35, 45 minutes, something like that. Perfect. I'm sure she's fine. I think, you know, everyone loves a good mystery. I think especially now more than ever, you know, you have this like abundance of content. You have these abundance of movies and streamers. And I think there's the ability to pull together a lot of well-known actors, throw them in different roles and really get creative with them. I don't know that I can explain why now other than that, just that, you know, all the ingredients are there. And perhaps maybe if I had to force something, mysteries inherently have an element of next episode, next episode, next episode. And so I do think from a production standpoint, it definitely makes sense for a lot of the serialized television that we're seeing that's going to draw people in on a binge. Mysteries are some of the best shows to binge, Grace. And so I'm excited to get into it and talk about some a bit that I've seen and a lot that I haven't seen.
Well, I wonder if in the age of there is so much content that murder mysteries are really fun fodder for conversation and mysteries as well. We were just talking about Yellow Jackets as well, which sort of fits in this category, but we're doing a podcast all on its own just about Yellow Jackets. And what about that show that entices its it creates its popularity? I think it is this in the era where shows get dropped on binge shows, and I make this joke all the time, but you have a conversation with somebody and me where I'll be like, this happened on my walk this morning, and people were like, what do you podcast about? I was like, TV and film. Like, what should I watch? And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't know what streaming services you have. I don't know. Oh, and these conversations.
Please pull out this 50 question quiz.
What's this for? Yeah. I was just about to say.
Or these convos where you'll go out for drinks with your friends, and it'll be like, if someone would be like, oh, we're watching Ted Lasso. And it's like, and then someone else will be like, oh, we're a season behind. So like, and then you can't really talk about the show. But murder mysteries, I do think as people are watching them, they're such a fodder for like, there's more conversation that's like, the idea is like, who did it, right? It's a whodunit. And so it creates like prime discussion opportunity, which might also be why like perhaps we are like, you know, feeling like there's like a heightened sense of murder mysteries, because there's shows that are become like great fodder for us to talk about on post show recaps. That's why I think like, you know, three of them that I mentioned, which is Only Murders, The After Party, and Poker Face, were all shows that we obviously covered here on post show recaps, because there is this element of, you know, you can just like play along with what the show is trying to tell you. So I think I think that's especially true in the era where like, yeah, show gets dropped on a Friday, people watch it in a weekend and then like don't talk about it ever again. These are shows, I think, that sort of break through the zeitgeist in our modern TV landscape.
Yeah. And you don't have to have done a lot of homework. Usually it's no homework at all. So that's a much lower barrier to entry for a lot of people in this very homework heavy TV and movie landscape that we find ourselves in right now.
Well, that's part of the fun of Glass Onion, The After Party, Poker Face, and even to an extent Only Murders in the Building, although that one I would put like slightly in a different category, Troy, just because it has most of the cast is the same.
That's right.
But then it obviously added like Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd to its last season. But the rest of those shows are all where like the majority of the cast are different people who are like entering this world. And so that idea of like, and to the world of Poker Face, Ariel, that's when we're like, each episode, there's no homework. Like, yeah, not just the season, the episode in itself is no commitment.
Totally. I think that's what makes mysteries so accessible in a way, right? It's twofold. One is that for TV shows, it tends to be the case that, you know, the big underlying whodunit is the kind of driving force behind the season. And you can jump in season three and kind of follow along, whereas other shows, you know, you're multiple seasons behind. I also think that it's a place where, you know, I'll speak for myself. I'm very spoiler averse in a lot of ways, although fair warning, we're going to spoil a lot in this podcast.
We'll do our best to be as, you know, where we only when necessary.
Only when necessary. I think that, you know, at least the setup of some of these shows, yes. You can't really talk about it without talking about the early 100%. Episodes. But not wanting to get spoiled on that kind of fundamental question of whodunit is what kind of drives me forward. Not just the fact that I'm podcasting about it, but the idea that I don't want to get on Twitter and suddenly get spoiled by it. I also think there's something around the writing intent that happens behind a show that's a murder mystery in particular. It is tighter, right? There is a promise to the audience that something is going to be resolved likely by the end of the season, almost certainly with a show like Only Murders. You are not going to finish that season without a murder being solved. Whereas other shows that I would maybe put into the kind of mystery or mystery box bucket, they get away with kind of lingering on and stretching it out.
This is true of Yellowjackets. I think one of the things that people start to get, like, especially they knew they got renewed for season 3, and people are like, you're not answering the questions. Like, you just keep asking more questions instead of like answering them. So I think it's a really good point, Troy.
I think a show like Silo on Apple TV Plus, great mystery type setup with a little bit of like a thriller element to it and obviously a sci-fi layer on top of it. I'm so excited about what is the potential for that show. It's obviously based on some written material, but at the most basic level, it's a mystery box show. And the question is always up to the writers, especially in an adaptation of, how much of this am I going to reveal in a first season? And even when it's great, even when it's executed well, it doesn't have the same guaranteed payoff that a murder mystery does. You go and watch Glass Onion, you go and watch an Agatha Christie, you go and watch any of the shows that we've covered, and you are, with very little exception, going to get a fulfilling ending and a complete ending, even if it's not, you know, A+ 5 stars type show.
Yeah, I mean, the cliffhangers for Only Murders in the Building in multiple seasons now has been like, what's going to come next season, right? They're like teasing what's to come rather than, but they do resolve the story that they did promise. I think it's a good point. The one thing I was intrigued about is perhaps us having a discussion. We obviously have a vested interest in podcasting about murder mystery shows, mystery shows in general. I'm interested to talk about like sort of whether or not, like, I have had people who will be like, oh, it's actually annoying to listen to like a podcast. Like, we spend so much time talking about the show. Sometimes the podcast on an episode of TV is in fact longer than the runtime of the episode.
Mm-hmm. What?
I know, wild. And so we,
that's crazier than the Just thing that happened.
I know. Oh yeah, I forgot. Oh yeah. Yeah. Will
is on his way. He's hitting a bunch of red lights.
Sounded like Jess hit a red light. So in her life.
Insert Squid Game sound.
Yeah.
But this idea that actually by listening to it, we sort of spoil ourselves. And it's just, I don't know what the like math on this is that like we throw out like 100 theories in a show and then we might hit on one of them and someone might feel like it spoiled the show because they're like, oh, now I can't get that out of my head. The After Party season 1 is a good example here where I feel like a lot of like, I think you folks have toned it. And some of this is like, how much of that is the, you know, the showrunners? Because I know the After Party folks, Lord and Miller, talked about it, and they were so surprised, actually, like how I was just, and they actually have a goal that by sort of episode 6 of a 10-episode season, actually the audience should be able to guess the outcome of the thing. They feel like if it's like too late, you haven't given it enough. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be too early. And so this idea of like we theorize that these shows are so fun to theorize, but that we could actually end up like spoiling ourselves by like theorizing on the show.
Yeah, I feel like especially in the week to week, there's a lot of time, like you said, the rampant speculation that we do as viewers, but then when you have to do it for a podcast, you just naturally in the conversation are speculating in different ways that you weren't before. So it's almost like you're painting the entire spectrum of what's possible. And then, you know, inevitably what happens is probably somewhere along that spectrum. And it's like, oh, if I hadn't spent so much time talking about it, would I have come to that conclusion? But I think in general, for me, the thing the big thing that makes a show or a movie in this genre like successful versus less so is, like, you know, Troy, you were getting at this a little bit with the writing, towing the line between like a trick versus a twist, you know, when it comes time for reveals, whether they're like smaller reveals in the beginning or bigger reveals at the end, the audience feeling like they were, even if they didn't figure it out, it makes sense. There were clues provided that even if we have missed, it still makes sense versus something that feels like so out of the blue, so ridiculous, so convenient, whatever, that it feels more like a cheat. And I think for the most part, like After Party season one is a good example, like you said, Grace, of like we had all kind of speculated the possibility of the person being the killer, but it was still successful, very successful in my opinion, at the execution of the reveal and making it like land emotionally.
I think you're right, Ariel, that like there's this game that we have to play as podcasters in terms of how much do we dance over in the any particular theory for how long. And one of the things that's I have the great privilege of podcasting with Josh Wigler. And boy, if you want to go big brain meta with Josh, you can do it. And if you want to go absurd bird murder, you can also spend 20 minutes talking about whether Mrs. Gambolini can carry a knife in her beak. And I think that's what is like a great balance in terms of this is like, you know, especially show like Only Murders, where, you know, they do have a level of absurdity. There is a level of camp to the show that you can, in podcasting about it, you can totally medium brain it. And that's really the line that Josh and I have taken, is that we are not going to try and overthink this. We are not going to Reddit sleuth this down to like the last possible, because we know that the clues are there. We do know that like it's probably possible to put it together. And with season three, we pretty well did. I mean, if you go back at our long list of theories, you know, we're a batting average of a average maybe ESPN sportscaster in terms of like credible points here. But by the time you get to like episode six, episode seven, we were pretty close on it. Compared to season one, we didn't podcast about season one of Only Murders, but I don't know that would have been a very good experience, because I think it was early stages of the show. They were just finding their footing. There's enough interest there in creating these characters, but the underlying mystery was so solvable. It was so obvious. And especially, and Grace, I'd love to hear if you all have experienced this in what you've covered, like the meta component of what actors do you bring on? Who's a featured player? Like, how much of that do you let weigh into your brain while you're watching and weigh into the conversation while you're podcasting?
I mean, hugely. So I actually did just binge Only Murders because I knew we were going to do this. And I had sort of like watched, I think, like the first two, and then it sort of had fallen off my radar with how much TV I watched. So I just recently binged that whole thing. Man, I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was like excellently done. And the thing for me in that show, I think certainly there's this aspect. Obviously, they bring in someone. And again, this is where I feel like we're going to spoil the premise, but this is from the first episode, which is that they bring in a celebrity guest star to be the person murdered. And then they have this other celebrity guest star who's in there, and they certainly play with the idea that they might be the murderer. And for me, it's not so much that, I think, as much as it is, you know, obviously, I think with the after party and Only Murders, I actually do think have a little bit of a there's a similarity in that specifically this season, Only Murders, I do feel like Only Murders, almost every episode, I believe, starts with a voiceover from a different cast member. And the After Party, obviously, every episode is like a genre episode, but centered around one character. And I'm almost like, as I'm watching it, thinking about like, is it early enough in the season for this person to have a character focused episode? Are they, you know, I often feel at the After Party, like if you get the second episode, you're probably not the murderer, right? Like if you're the sort of first suspect on the board, you're probably not the murderer. I feel like we're watching so many of these that we're like learning the tips and tricks of what they're doing. But I don't know that I necessarily, I mean, one of the things, Troy, is that Only Murders is a little bit unique in some of these things that we're talking about, in which they, and it just, anybody correct me if I'm wrong, but that they have a pretty they have a cast, and then they might be bringing in these other people. I don't know that anything else we watched, Ariel, this year would fit like that, other than like we talked about Benoit Blanc or Perot, like Haunting in Venice came out this year. That's one where you might have one person, and they kind of did that.
Even those though, we keep like one main character, but we use the excuse to bring in this whole cavalcade of characters that are totally new, both victim and suspect. Only Murders, you're right. Hey, we've a little bit painted ourselves into a corner as a show where we've introduced these other characters in and around our main three that we like know and love. And I will say it teases us as an audience to be like, well, could they finally be the murderer this time? Could this, you know, and so it is an interesting question. If you get into a season four of Only Murders, like how much do we have to expand past the known cast of characters? And how do you do that without it being so obvious when somebody comes in? You know, those are the things that I think about. And again, it becomes like a chess game with your audience of, well, now they know you do this, and now they know, and you do you expect that they do this? Oh, they are expecting if you're season two, episode two, the main character. Well, now we can twist that on them.
I know. Yeah. Cause I did think that with the after party, I did wonder, that's Grace who gets episode two, not me. There's a character named Grace.
The other Grace. Uh-huh.
And then I do think if you listen to later on, I'm like, well, could be Grace. Maybe we're so far removed from her being the first suspect that actually could be her. So that is an interesting point, Troy. And I'm wondering about your thoughts on this area of like the, and this is what I meant about how Lord and Miller are like, yeah, you probably should be able to figure it out by like episode six, that they are kind of playing. There is a meta game that is sometimes happening with some of these shows. I don't think all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm the only person certainly the only person on this pod who hasn't watched Only Murders in the Building. But I think I am really, the idea of what you said, Troy, of like perhaps a, maybe not a main character, but a known character, like finally breaking bad in some way. And like, what would cause that to happen is like endlessly fascinating to me. But to the point of like After Party and Poker Face, which is one of my favorites from this year. And, you know, even Glass Onion, like, yes, we have a main character who's repeating and is like serving as the detective or a group of detectives. But the most fun thing for me is the new characters, because yes, there's the meta level, like you all said, of we're getting this new slew of incredible actors who are clearly having fun, you know, playing in this genre, but also you have all these character types that you're like, okay, what kind of character are you? Because there are always, you know, there are these archetypes in these types of murder mystery stories, especially. And it's like, okay, what category am I going to put you in? And you're automatically like sussing out if they are sus themselves, and you know, having so much fun with these incredible actors like Poker Face especially. I can't get over, you know, I was making the list of all the different people who have been in, even if it was just an episode, you know, it's incredible, and it's so much fun as a viewer to like still be in this familiar universe that you are now getting a bigger sense of as they build it out, but also still meeting people who are brand new and, you know, changing the narrative in some way.
All of these shows also, Troy, had like, not only did they bring in people who it seemed like, you know, Meryl Streep gets added to Only Murders, like Poker Face has this like sleuth of people who come in each episode, but then there's also like these cameo appearances. Is it Mel Brooks who shows up in Only Murders for like a moment in season three? In the After Party, you get like, there's a final scene where like, there's like Elijah Wood and all of these people who are like, I don't know, there is like this like joyfulness. I think part of this is that a lot of the people they're casting is like the central figures. So I think Only Murders, like, obviously Martin Short and Steve Martin are so loved and respected that it's like they can like sort of like pull in somebody. But I feel like Natasha Lyonne has that to a degree too, to be able to like pull these people in. But these like cameo, it just seems like people are having so much fun with this stuff and like popping in when they can.
I think this is in some ways like a return to form of some of the cameos that you would see on TV in the 80s and 90s television with things like Murder, She Wrote, where there would suddenly be, you know, a murder of the week and the baddie. Even like Law and Order, SVU in particular, does this quite a bit where, you know, you use this as an opportunity to pull in a featured player for a little while and you know, give them an opportunity to shine. I think Ariel and Grace, you both bring up like really great points of like the core components of what makes a great, like, let's say murder mystery right now. One of them is like an interesting cast of characters, ideally with some familiar faces doing maybe some unfamiliar things. There's also this other element of like a detective, someone at the core who you find interesting. In Only Murders, we have three people. And so a lot of what we explore with the show is the relationships between the three of them. But, you know, take your detectives, obviously your Benoit Blancs in movies and Poirot and others. Like, that is just as fundamental, is that consistent piece each season is someone interesting to watch and has their own idiosyncrasies themselves that make spending time with them, spending time in their brain, really interesting. And as we eventually talk about upcoming shows in 2024, that's one of the things I'm most going to look out for, is shows who have, sure, we can write a great mystery, but who do you put at the center of it? And do I want to spend time with that person?
So typically part of these is we do like the general discussion, then we'll do superlatives. So I feel like you've segued us so nicely, Troy. Who's the best detective on TV in 2023? Or, I mean, I joked about this because we were trying to come up with like, what are all these mystery shows? And Glass Onion came out like the last week, I think, like in terms of like a Netflix release. Like, it dropped on Netflix December 22nd. So I'm going to count it because we wouldn't have been able to discuss it really last year in our year in review. But yeah, do you have a particular favorite at the moment,
Troy? Well, I can only speak, you know, I must confess I have not seen all of the shows that we're talking about here. I'll just speak from my perspective of knowing a few of these and maybe rank order them a little bit. And then you can maybe slide in some of the folks that you know. I'll say just in the Only Murders gang, like, unquestionably Mabel is the most effective detective.
100%.
Mabel sticks to the plan. She is very focused on the podcast and solving the murder, especially in season three. Charles Hayden Savage and Oliver go off and have their own side stories, and they kind of dabble back and forth. Mabel, that said, is not the most interesting character for me to watch. And I've kind of complained about this, that I just want to give Selena Gomez more to work with. I want them to do more with her character. I'm hopeful every season that they will. But I think this season, the most interesting to watch was Martin Short's character, Oliver, in that he was given a lot more personal stakes in this. And so I think, you know, if I'm evaluating just on like best detective, it goes Mabel, Oliver, Charles. I'm going to throw Benoit Blanc in probably above Mabel just for like straight up Sherlock Holmesiness. And then I don't know, Poirot, that's a tough one. It's so classic. I might put Poirot below Benoit Blanc once we get a few more like pieces of Knives Out stories. But my sense is that, you know, put them in a modern murder mystery right now and like Blanc's going to do much better than Poirot would. So I'm curious, Ariel, okay, with that context, where would you slot in some of the detectives that you know?
First of all, I have to call out this moment. I won't let it go when you, Troy, made the verbal typo of consistent peach in the same sentence as mentioning Benoit Blanc, aka Daniel Craig. Yeah. And I was just like, yes, chef's kiss to that. but I already mentioned Poker Face. I love Natasha Lyonne and I love Charlie Cale, the character that she plays. She is literally a human lie detector. And between that and her personality, it's so much fun to watch her be good. She's inherently good, again, at, you know, knowing immediately if somebody's telling the truth or not. And like, the permutations are endless in how you use that power in conversations with people, because they have to, the person has to like choose to lie about anything. It doesn't even have to be related. And she knows that they're lying, and that leads to so many different, you know, interesting situations. And again, I mean, you know, we've already said it a million times, Poker Face has such an amazing cast. Every episode is essentially a new mystery, even though there is a little bit of like an overarching story. And to that point, the overarching story gives you reason to care about and in some cases be worried about this main character. You know, the first episode is like a very personal story to the character, you know, and then that like guides the character through the season to solve all these other like seemingly unrelated mysteries for the most part. And I think she's just so good. She has the personality, she has the skills, but she also is, as impressive as all that is, she also just like needs odd jobs, and like she's working as a, she's just like everybody else. She's working at the, you know, the theater for a week. She's working at the
barbecue, you know, joint, the or whatever
gas station. Yeah, the barbecue place. It's like just a regular person, guided by a very specific and effective mechanic of like needing to find off the books jobs. And you really do get like such an incredible combination. It's like they did Glass Onion like 10 times across the season, basically.
Yeah.
Well, this brings up a question. I want you to forced choice here, and then I'd love Grace's opinion if you have a different one. If you have a new movie coming out, feature length film, with you know, a Poker Face feature length film, and then another Knives Out starring Benoit Blanc, knowing nothing else about the story, which one are you going to see first?
I am myself. I have to choose the Glass. I have to choose the Knives Out.
Oh,
I love Natasha Lyonne, you know, famous New York royalty, but I have to run out and see the,
it's the peach pick.
I was going to say, I have to go see the consistent peach. So, you know, that's
I think I'm the opposite. I think, you know, it's, there's been one season of Poker Face and two movies in the Glass Onion universe, or the Knives Out universe, which I do think is really incredible. I do think if that's the only information you're giving me at the moment, Troy, between, do I want Charlie Kale, Natasha Lyonne as Charlie Kale, or do I want Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc? I think I want Natasha Lyonne as Charlie Kale. But the piece that's like missing from that whole equation is like the rest of the cast, right? Which like is not insignificant, I think, in terms of like which movie I might go watch. And it's not like it's not close, like it's very like
to be clear, I would see both, but the, you know, right. He asked me,
no,
I would see first.
Forced choice.
I do think
it reveals something.
Yeah, the writing of the mystery from in Knives Out, I do think is probably stronger than the writing so far across one season of Poker Face. I really love, and this is one thing I was gonna have as a topic of conversation, is sort of this like. And again, but we already did here a little bit, which is in the meta game of like creating a murder mystery, where I feel like some of these murder mysteries, like there's a twist to Glass Onion that I do think works, but it definitely is trying to play. It is trying to figure out how to like out. It's not trying to outsmart you. I guess it is. I don't know. I don't know if there's another way.
It's hilarious because, you know, Rian Johnson, writer of Knives Out Universe, and Rian Johnson, executive producer of Poker Face, you know, he doesn't write every episode. They have a writer's room, but I'm sure he's heavily involved. I have this thing, a little bit to your point, Grace, about like the writing, this thing with like Rian Johnson that I love so much. I'm such a big fan, even though at times I think his scripts can feel a tiny bit overwrought, or like, you know, there's just like an extra wrinkle that maybe doesn't need to be there. But like overall, what I enjoy is that he makes me feel smart. As dumb as that sounds, like you feel like you're in on it, even when you have been tricked, even when you don't see the thing, the dialogue, the like the cadence of the characters, the way that they interact. It's always so perfectly pitched, and there's just something about his intelligence in writing that does not exclude you from that. You feel included even when you're, you know, not in on the mystery part of it.
So one other piece, I think Knives Out probably is the best at mapping a murder mystery onto social commentary at the moment. I don't think anything is better than the first Knives Out movie and then Glass Onion. I love Only Murders in the Building. I think that's a very it's really character driven. Yes. And it has a lot of like heart and hope. And I love the themes of season 3. I thought they were like really, really effective. But I don't know how much they were like, there is a little bit, but not as much certainly as like, I think Glass Onion had, which was about like, you know, an Elon Musk like figure and like the damage that they can like do in the world. I think like it was one of the stronger sort of commentaries on our society at the moment. Yeah,
I think that's a really astute observation, Grace. The movies in particular, and specifically the Benoit Blanc stories, they are set in a contemporary society and they are made with the goal to say something. And I think every art ideally is made to say something. And that's not to say that the creators of Only Murders aren't, but I do think a little bit of the driving force behind the show is get these three actors together and put them in a ridiculous little jewel box of a building and see what happens. There's a little bit of commentary about podcasts and a little bit of, you know, parody about podcasting and true crime. That's very fun. And we got some little backhands at the Gwyneth Paltrow goops of it all this season that I very much appreciated. But I think you're right in that the show does not feel as though it is making a broader social commentary. This season, we got to explore some themes that were really great. Themes of performance and art, also themes of family and relationships. And those are great just from a, you know, evergreen narrative plot perspective. But I don't walk away from watching Only Murders feeling like I am thinking differently or more broadly about an important issue in the same way that I have with other shows. And so in some ways that makes it a fun, safe place where you can just kind of go and check your brain out and not overthink it. But yeah, I think like if I look at what I would like to see more of, I would love to see more of these shows where they're using the mystery in order to explore something, in order to explore something like wealth or technology or, you know, the AI murder mystery, which we're not going to talk about iRobot because that's a whole other can of worms. But yeah, I think it's, you know, the themes of the mysteries can be really fun to play with. And there's no question that, like, there's a pretty wide dial that you could turn as to, you know, how much do you want to center this into the modern contemporary conversation of today?
But Only Murders does exactly what it is intended to be. I just sat on my couch and was like, I loved it. I loved getting to like just sit in that world. I'm a huge Steve Martin fan and Martin Short fan. And so I do just want to like spend time with them. And so, you know, to the point of like that season being about family and connection, like it worked tremendously. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what you want.
And exactly make it a musical.
Yeah. Whereas the After Party is like, yeah, trying to be like funny. And I feel like the themes that they're talking about with this last season area was a lot about like money and power and family, but almost in service of like comedy rather than maybe a broader point. But yeah
I need to watch. That's
no, the After Party. I mean,
oh, the After Party. Sorry. Yeah. You said the After Party and I heard Only Murders for some reason, but fine. No, the After Party, I think did it get canceled?
It did get canceled.
Okay, yeah. Because I remember at the end of season, I felt like season 2 was a little bit less effective than season 1, even though I did enjoy it, and I certainly enjoyed talking about it. But I think we were speculating on the pod at the time, you know, on the second season finale of like how much further can this go and still feel as fresh as it had been feeling before.
Yeah.
I have a quick update here. I got a text back from Will. He says he went in the house, just wasn't there. Just there was a podcast mic on the floor.
Earlier, you had said you had talked about Bird. Yeah, you were talking about bird murder. I wonder if, like, the dog, you know, if we maybe lay some blame at Winston on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Maybe knocking
Winston
something
over. Does have an odd accent, so
That's
true.
He does.
Maybe he could. Well, I'll, hold on. Let me. I'll text Will and see if Winston
does anybody
is there.
Have Winston's number?
Oh wait, hold on. Let me go check it out. I think he's on Twitter.
Pet Finder.
Oh, X. Yeah.
On what? That? Oh, he's on X. Oh. All right, let's do some more superlatives. We sort of like wrap up the combo here. I know not everyone here has seen every murder mystery, but if you had to put your or and again, this is gonna be mystery. We've mostly focused on murder mystery here, but mystery could certainly just straight up mysteries can be in the box. But do either of you have like a favorite one from the year?
Right now my favorite mystery is what the hell happened to Jess.
What happened to Jess? I think it'll be everybody's favorite.
Yeah, what superlative would you give that? Like maybe that's the question.
Best scream by a podcast.
Yeah, that's great. Best scream goes to Jess Sterling for this podcast.
Yeah, I know that they had the famously a lot of TV shows and movies use the Wilhelm scream, but maybe it will be the Jess Helm scream.
Yeah, not the Will off or T scream.
That's right.
Wow. I'll maybe flip the question a little bit, Grace, if I can, and go for the shows that I've seen. Like what superlative would I nominate it for? And I will take for Only Murders. I'm going to nominate it for Best Celebrity Casting.
It's really good.
Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd, and you didn't waste it. You didn't just have them appear in half of an episode as a cameo, but they were like a through line throughout the entire season. Yes,
yeah, but
please.
Then they did these cameos, these one episode cameos that are delightful. There's one in particular that I almost don't want
to
spoil it, but it's he's a very famous actor who shows up for an episode, and then it's like, oh, it's you, the actor, and it's very funny. Yeah. It's very, very good. If you watched, you know who I'm talking about, I presume. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Grace? What of the shows or movies you watched, what superlative would you nominate them for?
Oh, I would nominate, Poker Face probably does get best smoker.
For sure. That's, you know, it's I guess classic. up against a different older mystery show.
Yeah,
that true. She was on that I will remember called Russian Doll. Where she, so it's like, you know, Natasha Lyonne smoking versus Natasha Lyonne smoking. Who's gonna win?
Yeah. I think underrated, most underrated murder mystery of the year might for me go to a show that we covered on Full Spoiler Recaps called Bodies, which is very good. And I'll completely spoil the premise of the show because it's in the thing, which is that across four different timelines, they find the same dead body. So four different police detectives find the same dead body that shows up in the same place across basically almost 100 years, I think, or 60 years or something. It's really good. Came on Netflix. And again, this is the thing of like Netflix shows where it kind of appeared and then disappeared. I got a lot of comparisons to one of our favorite mystery shows of all time, Ariel in Dark. Mm-hmm. But Bodies is one I wanted to highlight. And I believe A Haunting in Venice just got added to Disney Plus. I actually think it's like totally worth watching. Like it's like very fun. Speaking of like celebrity casting, Michelle Yeoh is great. Tina Fey is in it. She's pretty fun. An Only Murders in the Building connection there. So another underrated movie, but yeah.
Can we talk about one of the challenges that I know we're trying to do superlatives here, but I just want to like acknowledge one of the challenges of 2023, 2024 mystery watching is like anyone can make a good trailer. Anyone can make like something that looks interesting and good. And whether the season is actually worth it or a payoff is such a gamble these days. Whether they're going to cancel it after one season or whether you're going to get past the pilot and it's just going to fizzle. And I mentioned that one of the shows I want to check out, I actually did watch the first episode of Yesterday, which is A Murder at the End of the World. Mm-hmm. And everyone that I mentioned this to was like, please tell me if it's any good. I don't want to give it time unless I know it's any good. I think that's a real challenge here.
Yeah. I mean, especially something like that, that's like not all available at once. It's, you know, a little bit week to week. I think they might have released more than one episode at the outset, but people don't want to waste time. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much TV. Like, I feel like, as I said, like, I fell behind on Only Murders, and it was this pod that was like, oh, I should like finish that, basically. And I watched most of, like, I had to watch most of the season. But at the same time, there is this, like, you know, and I'm somebody who ends up watching a lot of TV because I'm going to podcast about it. But I can limit, like, you know, if you didn't, you know, not that I am obligated to do this, but I totally,
you
see,
signed
the point.
A contract, Chris.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Why Jess probably got taken out by Winston, because she broke the terms of her contract.
Yeah. Oh my right. God. Or was it like an insurance?
Did I pay Winston? Damn. I should probably check my. Yeah.
Is it possible that Jess faked her death, and this is like a insert movie title, not going to spoil situation, but you know what I'm talking about, where she is now like creating a separate identity for herself, and it's really because she didn't watch any of the shows that we were going to podcast about?
Stess Jeerling. You just watch out for Stess
Jeerling.
Stess Jeerling.
Boy, it sounds like Cinda Canning, Tina Fey's character in Only Murders.
You just watch shit Dixie really? Shows taught me. You just wait with Stess Jeerling.
She looks really familiar. I don't know where I've seen her before.
I'll tell you what, the blonde highlights are doing wonders for her. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know that I watched anything actively bad this year. I'm trying to think if I watched a bad mystery show, but I don't know that I did. You like Only Murders? Because we're going to be covering Only Murders. Murder at the End of the World. We're going to be covering that on Full Spoiler Recaps in a few weeks.
I got to tell you. So I told you people wanted to know, like, is it worth watching? I watched episode one, and I am like eager to watch episode two.
Okay,
it started a little bit slow. It's about an hour long episode. Started a little bit slow, but the setup and the premise of like, oh, great, here is the stage on which the story is going to be set, is to me a very interesting, compelling stage. Now, whether the like mystery itself pans out to be worthwhile, that's like, I don't know, but I'm intrigued by the detective. I love the setting, and the background characters are so far interesting, but I haven't gotten to know them yet.
So far, if you want a mystery show that is full of mysteries at the moment, and they're wild, and I don't know how to comprehend them, Fargo season 5 has been so good so far, and we're only a few episodes in, but they are making some choices that I am in love with, and there's a big mystery element to this season, so that's worth watching as well. Is there anything for you were talking about 2024? True Detective was supposed to come back in 2023, I believe, got pushed back. That's going to be Jodie Foster, I believe. Is that right? Is going to be in True Detective season 5. Is there anything else you had on your radar, Troy?
Nothing on my radar quite yet. I do not watch as much TV as I probably should at this point. It's enough for me to, you know, we got three hours of reality TV every Wednesday night, and gosh, it's enough for me to get through that. But
Survivor's basically a mystery show. Who's going to get voted off?
It is. It's a nice.
Some of the choices they make are certainly.
Yeah, we're gonna see what the world throws at me in 2024 and see how much of this I watch. You know, True Detective is one where I obviously really enjoyed the first season and then fell off and never came back to it. You give me Jodie Foster, I'm intrigued, I'm interested. You make a good pitch for Fargo, but here's my question to you, Grace. Like, is this a show that I can on ramp in season 5, or do I have to go through?
Nope. You can watch. No, you can just start watching it. It's anthology. It's all connected in like the same world, and there might be like a character who shows up or like a reference, but you absolutely don't need to watch anything before.
Yeah, I love
to watch it. Yeah,
I love.
Yeah,
that.
It's very good. Yeah.
All right. How about you, Ariel? Anything in 2024 that is top of your list? Anything that you are definitely going to check out in the either murder mystery or kind of greater mystery area?
I mean, the mystery of what the MCU is doing right now comes to mind. And they have only one movie coming out next year, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that Rian Johnson is supposed to do another movie. I think the original deal was two movies up front. So I don't, you know, I have no information as far as if I would doubt it, you know, especially with the strike and everything that was happening. But that would definitely be on my radar for the future in general, because that would be our third Benoit Blanc outing. And then there's all the fun that you could have with like trilogy rules and bringing some people back maybe, and you know, all the fun of the new characters and actors that we all clearly love.
Yeah. I don't know that it will come out in 2024, but I certainly imagine we'll all be eagerly awaiting it, which is probably the best mystery show that's on TV at the moment, which is Severance. Don't believe we have a year-end Severance pod because it did not air in 2020.
It's air, yeah.
Yeah, but a show that we highly love here at here on Posture Recaps. That I would be surprised if it came out in 2024. I know they, I believe they were filming before the strike happened, so there's certainly the potential, but I'm not
entirely
sure.
End of the year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But Severance is one of the few shows that I would drop everything to watch as soon as they like. If they give me a full season of Severance season two in one day, I would cancel plans.
Yeah.
It's called being an adult.
Making choices.
Yeah. All right. Any final words about mystery shows, murder mysteries from the year 2023? Troy, I'll, yeah.
I would say it's great fun, right? Part of the reason I got into podcasting about Only Murders with Josh is because I told him definitively, I do not like true crime podcasts.
Mm.
And then they made a show where the main characters were creating a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun and farcical. And the fact that they were taking a parody lens on it, I think, made it more accessible to me. But I am not someone who enjoys gritty murder, true crime, certainly. But even when we get into the, like, you know, the true detective grid of the mystery, not exactly my favorite. But as we start to get into the more playful, farcical, open, kind of creative, wild choices, that's where it gets really fun for me. And so I'm delighted to stay in my safe bubble of happy, fun murder mysteries and excited to be podcasting with you all about that.
Ariel, what about you? Final words about murder mysteries? Mysteries in general?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, watch your back. You never know, you know, who's standing behind you, whether you're podcasting or, you know, just walking out. You know, keep your eyes peeled. And I'm excited for? I'm excited for the potential projects that we don't know anything about yet.
True. They're like the real mysteries.
The real mysteries. We're getting down into the nitty-gritty stuff. I love Grace and I talk about this all the time with movies. I love a surprise. I love this movie is incredible and no one was talking about it, and now it's like the best thing I've seen in a year or whatever. That's my favorite kind of stuff. So, you know, looking forward to whatever mysteries arise in now that we're post strike.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Yes.
Just got a message from Jess Sterling. She's fine. She's okay. It's just her microphone disconnected and she couldn't figure out how to get it back together. So she got frustrated and then decided to take Winston for a walk. So everyone's fine. Everyone's okay. That's why Winston wasn't there. But yeah, all good. No worries.
I have to ask. I have to ask though. Do we believe that this text is actually from her?
Oh, interesting. We're not wrapping up. I'll have to see the future. I was gonna set up my own cliffhanger. I got a text here that Mike Bloom died. So we should probably
No.
All right. Before we close out, we want to remind everyone one last time about our audience survey at PostureRecaps.com/survey 2023. Every response is greatly appreciated. We'll help make Posture Recaps the best it can be. One last time, that's PostureRecaps.com/survey 2023. Before we leave, Troy, what else you got going on? Where can people find you?
It was a bike accident. Where can you find me? I don't know. I'm on X, if that's what we're calling it. At DJ LaBelle Klein is where you can follow me on things about TV shows. Or come join the Discord and talk with me and play D&D with me.
Ariel, what about you?
Yes, I am also on Twitter X, at that other Ariel, covering movies with you every week, Grace, Posture Recaps Theater, and covering 6 Feet Under with Dr. Amanda, one of my faves. We're doing a season one watch now that it's on Netflix, so look out for that.
Very fun. I'm chatting Fargo, The Crown, Yellowstone, The Curse, and Full Spoiler Recaps with Jess Sterling, which is a relief that she's alive, although I was covering Fargo with Mike. Mike's not actually going to be on the podcast this week, so it's very
Grace, you are automatically a suspect.
Yeah,
for real.
I did
for
just real. Go find Grace on Twitter X, and her handle is @MikeBloomType.
Yeah.
a Mike Bloom type? It's yeah. kind of strange.
Yeah, so strange.
At a Mike Bloom murderer.
No, it's that high from grace. All right, so that's going to do it for the Mysteries of 2023 in Review podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the 2023 in Review podcast series at pushrecaps.com/2023in review as our look backs on the year in TV continue through December. Make sure you fill out the survey. Until next time, bye-bye. All right, let's cut here. Well, that was great. Yeah.
The best part was before when you were doing the introduction and I was muted, Winston was barking the entire time. And I was like, honestly, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, there's a suspicious activity. I wanted to react sooner, but I couldn't unmute myself because I was laughing.
Well, this has been fun. Enjoy your podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye.